This is a podcast from the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities, a nonpartisan research institute that explores budget policies and issues affecting low and moderate income Americans. The following is testimony by the Center's Executive Director, Robert Greenstein. He discusses the long-term budget problem facing the United States before the House of Representatives Committee on the Budget at a hearing titled Perspectives on Long-Term Deficits on Thursday, January 21st, 2010.
Last week, the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities released our latest long-term budget projections. Our work isn't unique here. Over the last 8 months, new long-term budget projections and analyses have been issued by CBO, GAO, the Peterson-Pugh Commission, as you just heard, a committee established under the auspices of the National Academy of Sciences and the National Academy of Public Administration, and a team of economists at the University of California and Brookings. What is striking is the degree of consensus across all of these analyses, not just on the numbers, in a sense, but on their significance and what they mean. Basically, all of these enterprises support conclusions, the same conclusions, on five key points. Number one, the deficits in debt will skyrocket in coming decades if current policies remain unchanged, and that debt at the levels projected ultimately would significantly damage the economy. Number two, that the continued rapid growth in per-person health care costs is the single biggest reason for the projected increases in deficits and debt over the long term. It affects not only outlays for federal programs, but it also reduces tax revenue by making less and less of compensation in the form of taxable income. Number three, that the absolutely essential goal that must be met is to avoid a debt explosion, to prevent the debt from perpetually rising as a share of the economy. That is, as Maya just said, to stabilize the debt as a share of the economy. That is the bottom line goal that has to be met. Number four, that it is not necessary to balance the budget to achieve the goal. As the National Academy of Science report notes, the debt can be stabilized at reasonable levels if deficits are held to somewhere in the range of 2 to 3% of the gross domestic product. And lastly, it'll almost certainly require a combination of changes in both revenues and spending to achieve this. Now, as John Podesta noted, we are not talking here about the deficits this year or next year. Deficits are absolutely necessary now to deal with a weak economy. In fact, I think more needs to be done to shore up the economy. We're talking, obviously, about deficits over the longer term. And dealing with a long-term budget problem, I would argue, should not be the concern just of deficit hawks or people thought of as green eye shades types. If the budget is not put on a sustainable path, and it is my view that over the long term, low and moderate income families will be among those who suffer the most from the inevitable erosion of the standard of living. Let me turn now to the question of what might be an appropriate fiscal target for the years ahead, the years that will be covered by the next budget resolution that this committee will write in the coming months. And before getting into the specifics, let me raise two concerns. One concern is the potential of not having a meaningful fiscal target at all. The other concern is setting a fiscal target that goes beyond what we need to stabilize the debt and is so severe that it is politically unattainable, and as a result of that, just gets blown away and is the same as having no target at all. That's what happened with the Graham-Rudman-Hollings law in the late 80s. Now, three of the reports that I mentioned set a specific goal, ours, Pew Peterson, and the National Academy of Science, in conjunction with their long-term fiscal forecasts. And in all of them, the goal is to stabilize the debt as a share of the gross domestic product over the coming years. In determining more specifically what that goal might be, we need to take two things into account. The first is we should not and cannot start cutting deficits in the next few years while the economy is still on its back. And the second is that, and you could take Social Security as an example, it'll help focus one's mind on this. Many of the changes that are ultimately going to have to be made are going to have to be phased in over a number of years. Think about changes one might make in Social Security, and it becomes clear one would phase them in over a number of years. We recommend, based on this, stabilizing the debt in the years ahead by setting a target of reducing the deficit to no more than 3% of the gross domestic product in the years after the economy recovers. If one did that, that would result in, it would succeed in stabilizing the debt. The debt would be initially stabilized at slightly over 70% of the gross domestic product. Now, the Peterson-Pugh Commission and the NAS panel set a target of 60% of GDP. And in my view, that would be a very large mistake. Not only is it overly ambitious, more than is needed to stabilize the debt, but my concern is that it would be self-defeating because it would require targets so extraordinarily daunting that you wouldn't meet them. We ran the numbers yesterday and found that to get to 60% of GDP by 2018 would require deficit reduction averaging $800 billion a year in tax increases and spending cuts each year from 2013 through 2018, and over the 10 years from 2013 through 2022, between $8 and $9 trillion in tax cuts, tax increases and spending cuts. This doesn't count additional savings and interest costs on the debt. Maya noted that under this path, you wouldn't have to be cut deficit far below current law in the next few years, but current law isn't real, as you all know. Current law would entail a 21% cut immediately in physician payments under the SGR, 40 million households within 2 years being added to the AMT, repeal of every one of the tax cuts, including the middle class ones, or the expiration of all of the tax cuts, including the middle class ones enacted in 2001 and 2001 and 2003. No disrespect intended, but you aren't going to do that. So my concern, again, is to set a target that gets to the goal, which is stabilizing the debt and avoiding a debt explosion, that is one you can enforce and you can meet. I would note that there is absolutely no evidence that a debt-to-GDP ratio of 60% or any other particular percentage is the particular target needed to avoid harm to the economy. The National Academy report is quite explicit that there is no magic number. There is no particular number. There is one piece of economic research on this that does find evidence that economic growth falters when government debt exceeds 90% of GDP, and I don't propose we go that high. My point is simply we have to stabilize the debt. We have to have a path to get there, and it needs to be a path that can really be met. Now, what I'm proposing, which is a target of deficits down to 3% of GDP, is really tough itself. The target that I am proposing would require spending cuts and tax increases of $400 billion a year, starting within a few years after the economy recovers. That alone would be really, really tough. So I think the history involving the Graham-Rudman-Hollings law and the like suggests that if we set overly ambitious goals, we actually can have the unintended effect of making continued inaction more likely. If we recall the late 1980s, when we had a path under Graham Rudman of annual deficit targets getting down to zero that were not remotely realistic, what it produced was a cottage industry on both sides of the aisle of how to do rosy assumptions, how to print budget gimmicks in the budget, how to have a charade that we were meeting the targets in order to avoid sequestration. And when that didn't work, we just waved the targets or the sequestration away anyway. What we need is a path after the economy recovers that we can adhere to. Our first step is to avoid the debt explosion. For the long term, I would agree there would be desirability in stabilizing the debt at a level lower than 70%. Let's first achieve the goal of stabilizing. Once we get there, we can talk about the necessary steps it would entail to go further and whether the Congress is willing to take them. But my fear is one of continued inaction. Therefore, my recommendation is set the essential goal, stabilizing the debt, recognize what that means, deficits down to 3% of GDP, and figure out how to get there, putting everything, revenues and spending, on the table. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities. You can follow us on Twitter at Center on Budget, find us on Facebook, or create a My Center account at centeronbudget.org.